Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Today, Ian asks, following on from Kelson's question on revision, I realize your listener writers probably range from working on book 1 to book 10 or more. With hindsight, how many stages do you think there are, and what is the ideal set of things to study at each stage? Interesting twist on an age-old question. Let's see how I can do here. I've heard two basic approaches to how to tell where you are as a writer and what the stages are. The first is promulgated by Dean Wesley Smith, and he argues that there are four stages of writing. Stage one is where you're trying to communicate clearly. You're trying to put the words together in a way that makes sense. Stage two is where you really start to grapple with story and learn how to tell it, and you begin to internalize story structure. And at this stage, you start to write things that are occasionally saleable, but you've got a long way to go. You tend to be really dogmatic about your opinions because you're sort of climbing scaffolding that other writers have left out, or you're developing your own scaffolding. And when you're learning any discipline, you get this stage of sophomoritis where you think you have a command of the field and you've just got details to learn, because what you've done is you've gotten a command of the basics of the field and you haven't quite broken through to see how big it is. Dean then goes on to say stage three is the level of your basic average professional writer, the one who can tell a story, hold an audience, tell it well every time, and communicate what they had in mind. These are people who sell fairly regularly when they're marketing to editors. They've begun to learn a little bit about what their target audience looks like, and that's kind of where they're at. In terms of productivity, stage one writers have one book or less under their belt. Stage two have between 2 and 5 books. Stage three have between 5 and 30 books. And that brings us to stage four. Stage four in Dean's paradigm is a level that many writers never get to. You can have a whole career that's fairly respectable, that pays the bills, never get to stage four. Stage four is where it twigs to you that what you're doing is actually mind control, and your focus in storytelling shifts from telling the story that's in your head to recreating experiences in your audience's head. And not just to recreating experiences, but to controlling their perception and tricking them and screwing around with them. This is where you get into the really high-level techniques. And Dean says, to visualize these four stages, visualize stage one as pulling up to the curb in front of a hotel or a high-rise building. Stage two is getting out of the car and walking up to the building. Stage three is gaining entrance to the lobby. And stage four is discovering the elevators. And stage four goes all the way up to the top of this infinitely tall building, each floor of which is packed with techniques for storytelling that you could never have imagined even existed back when you were pulling up to the curb in stage one. Now that's a pretty good way to think about it, but it's hard to self-evaluate on that scale. You kind of have to have someone tell you where you are, someone who's farther along than you are. You can get an idea, but you can never quite be sure. Stephen J. Cannell, the creator of the Rockford Files and the A-Team and Wise Guy and Simon and Simon and a whole bunch of other fantastic television shows, the most successful independent television producer in the history of Hollywood, and managed to be independent through his whole career, really good guy to study for business savvy, as well as for writing discipline. He quit the television game in the mid-90s because the market changed and he didn't want to deal with it anymore, and he went into being a novelist and he wrote crime fiction that was pretty good. He conceptualized three stages of writing. Stage one is where you sit down with a story in your head and you write it down, and it's nothing like what you wanted. You can kind of see it, but you look at it and you feel disappointed. You wanted to do so much better than that. Stage two is where you've kept at it for a while, and you discover that when you read back over what you've just written, it's what you were intending. You have achieved your objective. And stage three is when you have an idea, you sit down, you write your words, you read it back over, and you think, who wrote this? Where did this come from? This is so much better than what I had in mind. The two stages map analogously onto each other. They measure sort of different aspects of the experience, but they're both, I find, fairly accurate ways of describing a writing career. So if you find yourself in stage three of Cannell's progression, you're at least a stage three writer in Dean Wesley Smith's thing, and you might be a stage four. Depends on how sophisticated a reader you are. As far as what you should be working on or studying at each stage, well, I'm a big believer in setting your sights as far out as possible and running to the impossible goal, because you cover more ground that way without realizing it. The pitfall with that way of doing things is that you can have trouble maintaining motivation over long stretches. So for most people, and really for me for a long time before I sort of grokked the whole big picture thing, it's easier to have short-term goals that you're moving from one to another. What I actually do now is I've got my long-term goal I'm running for, and when I start to feel my motivation flagging, I shift my focus closer in and say, okay, what's the next milepost that I need to be going for? And in so doing, I use both approaches as I go. So your long view is to look at those writers that did to you what you want to do to your audience, and your job is to beat them. Beat them at craft, beat them at creativity, beat them at production volume. Whatever metrics you care about, you bust your ass to meet those metrics, to beat the writers that are your heroes. And it doesn't matter if it's possible or if it's impossible. What matters is that you've got that goal that's really hard to achieve. Might be impossible, but it forces you to stretch beyond what you would be content to stretch for if you were just trying to be good. The closer in goals, at stage one in Dean's progression and in Cannell's progression, the most important thing you've got to do is finish and release. Finish and release is a hugely difficult thing for most writers to engage with, because that's where all the anxiety about, am I good enough, is centered. If you don't finish it, you don't ever have to let go of this project that you know you've got a good idea for and face the fact that you have to come up with a new idea for the next project. And if you never release it, you never have to look at the sales dashboard and see zero sales. Or worse, look at Goodreads and see negative reviews. Or receive rejection notes in the mail from editors at magazines or at publishing houses. If you don't release, you never have to face that. If you never face that, you will never grow. Period. Sorry. If you can't let your work go when it's done, you're never going to be able to grow the way you need to be good at this. You may be able to grow in areas of it. Like any autodidact, you can forge a path of your own. But until you learn to let go, at best, you're going to wind up being George Lucas. And I say this having a great deal of respect for George Lucas, but guess what he never let go of? Star Wars. And Star Wars was the kind of story he could tell really well when he was a young man. When he got to be an older man, it didn't work for a lot of reasons, and so every time he went back and touched them, they got worse, even when he added really interesting stuff to them. That's what happens when you hold on too long, instead of letting a project go and putting it out in the world and restraining yourself from going back and updating it and fixing it. Because you're not the same person you were. So at stage one, maybe stage two in Dean's progression, that's the most important thing. Finish, release. Stage two in Cannell's thing, it would be stage two and three in Dean's progression. Most important thing is to do each project better than the one before. Make sure you're stretching craft-wise. Every one of those books should be a noticeable improvement in quality along some axis that you care about over the previous books. And it's very hard to judge this for yourself. What you need to do is get your first reader to tell you honestly if you are improving or sucking. It's okay to suck. It's okay to try your best and fail. What you don't want to do is use it's okay to suck as an excuse to half-ass it. Because at that point, what's the point? You're just wasting your life. You're not putting forth your best effort for something, which literally means that you are wasting the only thing in the world that you can't replace ever. Time. Desperately important, and the older you get, the more you appreciate that. When you get up to late stage three and into stage four in Dean's progression, and when you're solidly and dependably in stage three in Cannell's progression, That's when, in addition to craft, you want to start focusing on learning some of the other tools involved, like self-editing, alternate methods of storytelling, because you've got a lot of knowledge you can cross-apply, and you've got a solid understanding of basic craft under your belt. You can now afford to take the kinds of risks that can lead to a career crash that are involved with learning these tools. The reason you can afford to do that is because, A, you've got a good catalog behind you, B, you know what you're doing. So if you wind up going down a path that's destructive to your voice or your creativity, you're more likely to notice it and be able to pull back from it. Whereas if you do this as a young writer, you won't have the savvy to distinguish between a method which is difficult but is going to yield good results and something that is teaching you a way to write that will ultimately limit you and prevent you from progressing to the level you want. The further along you get, the easier it is and the quicker it is to spot the differences between those two things. And it's ironic because you most want to revise when you're early on and you know that what you're doing sucks. You want to get it right, but you don't know enough to do it yet. Whereas later on, when you're already getting things right, then if you learn to revise, there's things you can learn to do that'll make your writing stand up and do tricks without squashing the voice, without wrecking the story, without all that stuff. Which brings me to the last thing. From beginning to end, one of the most important things to do is to write clean copy. Even as you're moving towards when you can seriously sit down and learn all the ins and outs of self-revision, and it's a complicated business, you want to be working towards a place where that will be unnecessary. You want to get as close as you possibly can to one and done. A, it increases your productivity. B, the kinds of skills you need to do that will serve you well in every aspect of your writing. And C, it will clear the decks so that when you find something you really want to get in there and craft at multiple levels and do the whole literary fiction treatment on it, you know what you're doing and you don't have to create unnecessary work for yourself. If I could recommend the most essential skill to strive for, is to get as close as you can over the course of your writing life to being able to write one and done. When you get that down, you will have opened the gates to your subconscious and figured out how to tap it and let it flow under many adverse conditions and reliably. So you know you're always doing your best work. Every piece of writing you do, exercise or novel, should be your best work. Even if that piece doesn't deserve it for some reason, like it's a contract book, and you're not getting paid enough for it and you can just phone it in, the improvement in your writing every time, if you continue to do your best work, is worth it on its own. And the improved relationship with your audience. If they know that every time they go to one of your books, they're going to find something better than the last time they found it, or something that takes risks they haven't seen you take before, that establishes you in their mind as a reliable entertainer, a writer, and a person of integrity, and those are reputation points you can't buy with anything other than blood, sweat, and tears. So those are the things I would recommend studying at each stage. If you want to get into specifics, by the time you hit stage 3 on Dean's scale, stage 2 on Stephen's scale, or on Cannell's scale, you need to have a basic command of plot, character, dialogue, story structure. And you would do very well to be strong on openings, cliffhangers, and closings. Those are the basics for professional competency. After that, oh, the places you can go. Thanks very much for the question, Ian. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.